Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, this week looking at legacy that matters and financial legacy. And you wanted to get into some of the first steps of creating a legacy. What might be some of those first steps?
Yeah. So, boy, a legacy, it's a big topic. But in our Christian thought process, in our Christian world, I believe that it is actually the most poignant question and maybe the most poignant word that we really want to focus on. I don't want to just leave money to my kids. It's fine if I leave money, and it's good if we leave financial assistance to family members, whether it's to our children, whether it's to our grandchildren, whether it's to churches and nonprofit organizations to continue the proliferation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, it all takes finances to operate in this world. As a matter of fact, most Bible scholars will say that Jesus talked more about money than he did heaven.
Yeah, he did.
And so, therefore, it's an issue that we need to talk about and face in this world. This world operates on its own kingdom principle. So, in other words, money is how we survive here in this earthly kingdom. And we can then, by our Christianity, elicit assistance from our Heavenly Father, who's generous in all of his ways and who has said that, I promise to take care of you. I mean, look at the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. Do they toil? Do they turn? No, they don't. They rest and they operate in how they were created. And I believe that that's our calling card too, which is we're supposed to operate in our giftings, in what we were created for, and not strive after the things of this earth, and trust our Heavenly Father that He is a good provider and He will give things to us. And in the word legacy, as a matter of fact, even that example right there is really the two-sided coin of legacy, which is my spiritual life will lead the charge to trust more in God. And by that trust in Him, I will then receive what I need in this earthly kingdom. And many of us have the opportunity to receive more in this world and to have finances that we can be directive with and intentional with. And it really takes both parts of that coin to really make a true, absolute legacy. In Christianity, I think we overemphasize that we just need to leave a spiritual legacy. Mm. Oh, this is the most important thing. Well, while I don't disagree with the premise, if we don't leave a financial legacy, then we may impede upon the next generation to continue what their calling is, or to carry on the calling and the vision that God has given you. Now, I've mentioned this before. There's a couple things when we talk about legacy that I want to kind of put on the cards on the table here real quick. Mm-hmm. Is that I don't believe that we are simply just to leave money to leave money. We're not just to simply divide it between the kids and say, here you go, knock yourself out. Mm. Okay? So God has entrusted us. He has given finances and resources to us as believers, and we are to be stewards of that money. That word stewardship in the New Testament means an administrative giver. It doesn't mean an administrative hoarder. It means an administrative giver. And so if we have been given dominion over what God has placed in our hands to be an administrative giver, then I don't believe that when we pass away, that administration is supposed to stop. As a matter of fact, I don't see it biblically anywhere. Mm. I actually see exactly the opposite, which is that patriarchs of the Old Testament laid a vision and a foundation for their families to springboard off of and to carry on. what was laid in the first generation. It wasn't just simply here you go, that they laid hands on the next generation and imparted a calling and imparted what the family vision was to be. I truly believe that that is what we are to do in our Christianity, is to have a vision that is so beyond ourselves that only God's grace, mercy, and miracle power could actually continue it and perpetuate it beyond ourselves. And so therefore, that takes two things. It takes a spiritual legacy and it takes a financial resource legacy. And so if we don't combine the two, then leaving a spiritual legacy is a great foundation, but maybe the next generation will struggle in actually fulfilling the call that they're supposed to fulfill. Now, if we only focus on the financial legacy and we never lay the foundation of a spiritual legacy, well, now we're just turning over money. And if they don't have vision, if they don't have training, if they don't have proper alignment with calling for kingdom purposes, then that money may be used just for their own purposes and for their own selfish ambitions. And so if we focus only on one part of legacy, the spiritual part only, or the financial part only, I believe that we may miss what true legacy is about. It takes both of these working in conjunction together to make sure that we leave a proper and true legacy to our family, to those that we care about, and quite honestly, to ministries as well, that we can give and be generous to those who are working in the field full time and have devoted their lives to the calling of ministry. They need finances. That a church can only operate and can only continue to grow to the point that they do financially. If they don't run their business part of their ministry well, they will fail. And then, what good did it do to have a spiritual vision? And so we must have both of these linked hand in hand, and we need to be wise, and we need to use wisdom in building all of these sections. So really, the first part of building a legacy is ensuring that we have both of these portions of legacy within our viewpoint, and that we haven't overemphasized one over the other, or that we haven't justified the spiritual legacy because I have no money. You have something. So what are you going to do? Even if it's not that much, it can then go. I come back to the to when Jesus was watching over the offering and the widow put in the mite.
Right.
And when he looked at her and said, this woman is giving like giving is intended to be. This woman is giving not out of her abundance, but out of what she has that is necessary for her. And so therefore, because she gave out of her necessity, she only has one place to go, which is to turn her eyes to heaven and say, God, you are going to be my provider. And who knew that God was going to take that small gift that a person was giving? And, you know, she didn't know Jesus was watching her. She didn't go tap on his shoulder and say, Jesus, watch me as I give.
Right.
And so therefore, this small gift became a storyline for all of history to know. You know, if you have a small amount of money and you give it strategically when God tells you to give it, do not underestimate the power by what your gift may mean in the hands of the creator of the universe and what it will mean to the kingdom of God. This woman gave out of her necessity. The smallest amount, maybe, that was given that day, but yet that smallest amount became the storyline for ages to come. And so even if we don't have a lot of financial wherewithal, if we do not have purpose, if we do not have vision with what God has given us, whether it is a small amount or whether it is a large amount, it will end up simply being squandered without purpose. You are a steward, an administrative giver of everything that has come into your hands. And it's not just if you have a lot. As a matter of fact, I don't find any biblical basis to say, if you have a lot, then you're a steward. But if you have a little, don't worry about it.
Okay.
It's for all of us. Mm. It's a calling that we all need to do. So the beginning of true legacy, in my perspective, is having both of these perspectives align well in our lives, which is we are called to be proactive in our relationship with God and to build a spiritual legacy in ourselves first so that then we can give it to others. And we are called to have vision and purpose with our finances, and we must have a strategy and a plan of attack with our finances as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Proverbs 4:6-7 says, "Do not forsake wisdom, for she will protect you." Verse 7 continues, "The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. Though it costs you all, get understanding." And so as we seek after our Heavenly Father, when we activate our faith to say, "I am going to come to you so that Heavenly Father, you can tell me what my legacy is supposed to look like," then we are going after what Proverbs just said, which is we are going after wisdom for us and us alone, so that our Heavenly Father can direct us in our steps. The heart of man devises a plan, but the Lord orders the footsteps therein. Devise a plan, seek after Him, and then He will tell you exactly your steps that you are supposed to take. And it may not look like your neighbors, it may not look like what your parents did, and it may be different than what you think today that it's going to look like, because that's the beauty of our God, and that's the beauty of following Him, is that we can receive heavenly and divine instruction so that we know that we are on course with legacy. We can build ourselves up, and then we can receive specific instruction of what does it mean to leave a financial legacy. And that does not mean that you have to have a lot of money to seek after the heart of the Father.
Creating a legacy that matters this week on the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Paul, people are intrigued. How do they find out more about how you can might help them?
Yes, well, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's information there, upcoming educational opportunities. There's also all of our past podcasts. So there's been other times we've talked about legacy. There's things where we talk about practical estate planning and difference between wills and trusts and power of attorneys and probate. And oh, the topics are numerous. So head over to legacyandfaith.com. It's all at your fingertips.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com. www.legacyandfaithshow.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show this week with Paul Grant, looking at the legacy that matters. Do you emphasize spiritual legacy, financial legacy? How do you balance those two? And maybe some pitfalls of maybe focusing too much on financial legacy or the other, too.
If we're only one-track minded, I mean, of course, we want to be focused on our relationship with God. And so don't get me wrong, you can never go wrong in focusing on your relationship with Jesus Christ. So yes and amen to that. The only balance here that I'm saying is that in order to leave a true legacy, even a true spiritual legacy, we need to be individuals who plan every part of our lives well. And what I find in estate planning is that most people just don't plan. And so we've talked about this many times, Mark, which is that 50% of people have no will, no estate plan at all. So what that means is that you are just simply giving stuff away and letting it go as just however it's going to go. And so that, I believe, is not where we should be as believers. As believers, we need to be very direct. We need to have vision from our Heavenly Father. But when our vision becomes too earthly focused, then we have some potential concerns as well. And the parable of the rich fool found in Luke 12, Jesus talked, as a matter of fact, the question was, somebody said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." So in other words, the assumption here, the inheritance. So this is a good scripture for an estate planner, don't you think?
There you go.
So look, here's the assumption of this, is that the oldest brother, the oldest family member, would be in charge of the family after the patriarch died, and typically would receive everything, then was in charge of actually dividing it up as they saw fit. So there's an assumption here with this question that the older brother was now hoarding everything and was not actually fulfilling his Jewish duty to take care of the family, but now became self-focused, now became money-hungry, and became grabby. And so Jesus says, in reply to that response of, "Hey, tell my brother to give it up, Jesus, because, you know, that's what the older brother is supposed to do. He's supposed to help me." And then he told a parable. He said, "A certain rich man who yielded an abundant harvest." Now listen to the thought process. I want everyone to listen to how this rich fool thought. So Jesus said in verse 17 of Luke 12, he thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, be merry." Okay, that now in the retirement mentality, that's a danger.
Yeah.
So be careful of the retirement mentality. But let me get back to the storyline here. But God, so now we have an intervening voice said to him, "You fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" Now, listen, this is a very important part of this storyline. Notice how God did not say, "You fool, your life is required of you. Now, who will get what I gave to you?" It's you fool, your life is required. Now who will get what you have stored up? And so when we are self-focused, when our lives are about how much should I get, how do I plan and build bigger storms? I mean, I think it is so in our face of what this rich fool's mentality was, is that he was self-focused, self-idolatry. He was more interested about everything himself. There is not one single word about someone else in his storyline. And so, therefore, he did not even plan. So he was so self-absorbed that he never even took the time to plan out what it means for someone else to receive it, knowing that life is short, knowing that his days are numbered. And so we need to be careful that our lives are not so self-centered and focused on our own needs and our own worries and building up our own security for the future, that it disassociates ourselves from having faith and trusting in God of what His job is to us as our Heavenly Father. Because He says He never leaves us nor forsakes us, and that He never stops becoming our Father. And so in preparation, as we think about this journey of legacy, we need to be careful that legacy is not just about building our earthly wealth or even building our own spiritual legacy. Our relationship is so focused on my relationship with God that it never then goes outside of me and becomes the blessing and the drink of water and the resource to all of humanity that it's supposed to. I am supposed to build things, whether it is spiritual or financial, to ensure that the gospel is spread, to make sure that kingdom purposes are spread, to ensure that other people benefit from my own spiritual growth, that I give recklessly of what God has so generously given to me. So if we become over-focused on ourselves, whether it is spiritually or financially, I believe it'll lead to a very backed-up life. Why is the Dead Sea dead? Well, because there's no outlet. Everything flows into it, and all the minerals and all of the ground things that it takes off and pulls into the Dead Sea, it becomes a place that because there is no outlet, because there is no resource to let anything out, it's just a place where we go to die. Do you know that our spiritual lives can also be that? If we become so self-absorbed in our spiritual lives that we never give of ourselves, that we never give of our time, that we never give of the revelation that God has given us, then to what avail? Then why did we spend all the time being built up in the Holy Spirit? Just so that we can sit on it? Why did we spend so much of our time, energy, and passion building up financial resources if our mentality, like the rich fool in Luke, was just simply so I can build a bigger barn and have it for myself or have it just for my family? If it never turns into a resource that is to build the kingdom of God, that is to be generous in all ways, I go back to that stewardship, which is an administrative giver. To be a true stewardship, whether it's stewardship of my spiritual life or stewardship of my financial life, I need to administrate it. So I'm called to watch over it. You know, the rich fool wasn't wrong in paying attention to what God, to what was in his hands. He was a fool because he was focused on himself and he never prepared and he never had anyone else in mind. Legacy must begin with other people in mind. It must begin that we are building ourselves up to give. We are building our financial lives to give. It is not to be a hoarder mentality. So we must be careful that we don't become the rich fool, and that we must have a plan of attack, that we seek our Heavenly Father and we seek Him out to say, where do I give the resources of what you have given me generously, both spiritually and with my finances, so that I can be the stream of living water and reflect your beauty to a dying world.
Some of the heart of Paul Grant this week, creating a legacy that matters, getting things in balance there between the spiritual and financial. It's all important. People are listening today and they aren't approaching their legacy that way, and they need some help. They need some direction, some encouragement from you. How do they get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website is the quickest way, legacyandfaith.com. There's upcoming educational workshops about estate planning specifically. There's past podcasts. So we have all of our past podcasts loaded up there. Great resource of information. And so head over to legacyandfaith.com. We'd love to communicate and connect with you.
Okay. The Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Always great stuff here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.